You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Teen Wolf After Show.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for MTV's Teen Wolf. It's season 3, episode 2, Chaos Rising. I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, your host, and sitting next to me once again, Corey Trench, is assistant editor on Teen Wolf. Across the table, all the way in Beacon Hills, we have Anik Dufour.
Hello.
And our special guest this evening can be seen performing stunts in films such as Salt, Wonderlust, J. Edgar, and TV shows such as NCIS, The Vampire Diaries, The Walking Dead, and most recently Teen Wolf. Please welcome Chris Tarju.
G'day, guys.
Yay.
Welcome aboard.
Grazie.
So, we wanted to talk about the this season yes. has become darker visually yes. and also plot-wise.
Yes.
And we can also see this in the credits of this show, which we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, the main title went through
the
some...
The main title sequence. Yeah. Marissa, can you play those for us?
Yeah, they went through some changes. The first one that you'll notice, I mean, this is all from season two, but once we get to... I believe it's Scott levitating. That was definitely a new aspect to the main title. I think this is last season.
I know we see his tattoos at some point, and I just
This is last season. But anyway.
Oh, okay. This is last season's credits. But the new credits, they have Scott's tattoo.
Yeah, the tattoo you have.
And it just seems a lot darker and bloodier, which...
What we have is, as far as the tattoos are concerned, we have the Triskel A tattoo on Derek's back, which that symbol will mean something later on this season. It's not revealed quite yet, but that plays a huge part in this season. And then also Scott's bands as well, and then images of Scott levitating off the ground, which is pretty cool. I didn't know werewolves could fly, but that's pretty awesome. That's great. I love that. And then the hands coming up from the ground, which I thought it was a nice homage to Peter being resurrected from season two, because he comes up through the ground and stuff, and all that. Those are pretty cool.
I'm excited for this season. We have past enemies actually uniting to fight the bigger enemy, which is Deucalion, who is played by Gideon Emery and joined us in studio last week. And I'm excited that they're bringing on new characters this season, and we aren't still getting to play with the old characters, and they're coming together. And
we're killing off characters, and then we're bringing on new characters.
That's what the best shows do.
Yeah,
we have them, so we can kill them.
Yeah, you don't know what to expect on this show.
Can you turn up two a little bit? Okay, getting into our first topic this evening, we're going to talk about relationships. And how did you guys feel about the opening sequence when Stiles and Scott's attempt to move on and they go to Heather's birthday party? How did you guys feel about that?
That was actually kind of cute. I loved when Stiles walked in and was her name Heather?
Yeah.
And she comes, she's like, oh, Stiles, you know, and then she's like, come with me. And then you see Scott in the back just kind of looking like, what just happened? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
The other girl that appears with Heather and is talking about you should save your virginity or whatever, she actually won a contest to appear on Teen Wolf.
Yeah, she did. She's great. That whole scene was a great way to introduce Scott and Stiles back into, the social atmosphere of being a high schooler. Because oftentimes, this show is so, big into the supernatural thing that you forget, these they're in high school, and they go to parties and things like that. And I like Stiles getting some. It's he always gets except that she gets taken away. Because we don't know what happened to her at the end. I mean, it's just that whole sequence of the wine bottles being thrown in the air. Something obviously supernatural happens, she gets whisked away.
Right. Let's talk about that sequence a little deeper. I really enjoyed the visuals, and it felt like a scary movie.
Yes.
And obviously, she was hallucinating, or she was the only one seeing this. And she's stepping on the glass, and her feet are just breaking apart, bleeding.
Yeah.
I was starting to, like, scream. I was, like, trying not to look at the screen. It was really graphic.
It's amazing, because what you can do with, like, sound design of the glass, you know, like, kind of crinkling, and then the music, Dino's music playing in the background, and just, like, the overall visual, the bloody visual of the feet and all that. It's very Die Hard, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, Die Hard. But you're right. But the horror aspect of it is so much there, like, because you... First of all, you don't see what's attacking her. You don't really see it. It's like you just see bottles flying through the air. Is it a monster? Is it like a ghost? You don't really know. But I think that's part of the aspect of horror is like it's what you don't see.
It's the mystery,
yeah.
I really felt like it reminded me of last week's episode, the bird scene, whenever the birds are flying through the air. Yeah. Instead, this week we have the bottles breaking. And I'm excited to see if that's something that continues each episode. So then I really liked that Teen Wolf is supporting safe sex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with this, but I don't have any.
Yeah.
And my brother has some.
And the funny part where it's like XL condoms.
Oh, it wasn't just XL. It was XXL.
Oh, man.
Chris, have you ever ran into that problem?
I don't even know what that question is at the moment, actually. I did hear from a couple of mates of mine who watched the show, and they love that part. They love anything with Styles, and they found that particular scene quite amusing. That, you know, he takes it out, looks at it, XXL, and he looks down at himself, and he's like, uh-oh.
but we're with them all the way, because we're like, yeah, Styles. You're like, he's got a girl that likes him, that, like, a childhood friend of his.
Right.
That he used to go down to the basement with her and, like, play around. Oh, but we never did that when she starts. But, yeah, it's that whole thing. Like, we want Styles to have some happiness in his life. And, obviously, like, she really likes him. Heather really likes him. And then to have that taken away from him, I'm sure, is, like, the stakes are raised for him finding her.
Styles is really someone that's easy to root for.
Yeah.
And I really liked how they continued to bring up the extra large condom in the classroom scene with the coach.
That was hilarious.
Who is awesome. And
great
also,
callback.
Yeah, great callback. And then again in the end, whenever they're doing the ice scene, the bathtub of ice, and he's like putting on the glove.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, that's like a subtle way of talking about the...
Thank you for the visual, Corey.
I mean, he's got it on. But no, it's great. The comedy in the show is... It's great to have that sort of balance with the horror, you know? So, like, you know, you're not getting too much of one or the other.
No, I mean, it lightens the mood every once in a while.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, definitely. But speaking of relationships, you know, so we had the Heather and Styles thing going on. But what about Scott and Allison in the beginning of the scene? You know, he got a text from her, and I think he had some hope, thinking, oh, we're going to talk about what's happening with us.
Right, and she shows up, but it's not to talk about their relationship. But, you know, she still doesn't know. Scott has yet to tell her that her mother died because she was trying to kill him. Yep. And that it was actually Derek that had to save Scott.
Yes.
So once she knows that, do you guys think she'll be able to, like, come to terms with her relationship with Scott? Or do you think that Scott's not telling her that to, like, make sure she keeps respect for her dead mother? Like, why do you think that he's withholding this information from her?
That's actually kind of funny that you guys mentioned that, because in, like, kind of my news and gossip, there's an interview with Crystal Reed talking about, you know, when she does find out eventually about, you know, Derek and the mother and stuff like that and what happened. And she says that it just brings her to, it'll bring in the character kind of like just not, it'll push her away even more. So we'll see. I don't know.
Mm. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it's like a defense. It's like, I think Allison's it's an interesting character because she's very guarded in the fact that, I mean, think about this. She's been exposed to so much in the past couple of seasons. One, her ex-boyfriend's a werewolf. Two, her family is a bunch of hunters, which basically their job is to hunt and kill werewolves. Protect people, of course, is the code. But as Gerard took it a little too far and actually went out to kill werewolves for no reason other than revenge, But then also, yes, this added thing with the mother. I mean, that's just a lot to handle, especially within a relationship. Like, how do you bring that up in a conversation when, you know, you're just cuddling on the couch? Oh, yeah, by the way, your mom's dead. And,
well, I think you don't bring it up, but it's nice to see her internal struggle
on
screen.
Yeah.
And then moving on, so the twins of the Alpha Pack, they stick out to everyone in Beacon Hills, and Scott's very suspicious, while Lydia actually wants one. And last week, I was wrong. I thought that she was actually in bed with Aiden, but people on the YouTube actually corrected me and just said they looked similar, but it wasn't. So thank you, guys. I believe that was Jamie Wade. So thank you, Jamie. And guys, feel free to always correct me. I will be the first to admit that I'm not always right. And then we also see Danny getting the elevator up and down from Ethan, one of the twins as well. So I'm guessing in the future we can expect a relationship there. And I like the sexual diversity that this show provides.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, it's cool to see a bunch of different relationships happening at once on different levels. You know, you obviously Scott and Allison are, you know, broken apart and, like, they're dealing with that. Like, how can we still be friends and not make it awkward and work together in certain cases. And then, you know, Styles and maybe Heather, you know, something going on there if he finds her. And then, but still the Lydia thing, I know that's something, he still likes her a little bit, even though maybe his feelings are a little changed towards her. You know, he's not as infatuated with her, I think, as season one.
Right. I think that he's trying to block her out right now, and he's doing some detective work this season, so I think he has different priorities. That's what I'm all about, prioritize your life. But then I really liked the parallels with Heather and Lydia hallucinating, because Heather was, when Styles gets down in the basement, all those bottles are gone. So she was hallucinating that, and maybe that's something, and we know Lydia also has those hallucinations, so I don't know who's causing those and what causes them to see those. And also, we see Lydia screaming at the end of the episode, and we still don't know what her skills are exactly, other than that she's immune to the wolf bite. Do you guys think that she has premonitions or visions? Do you think that could be something in the future? What do you guys speculate could be her, like, skill in this world?
I definitely think that it might be premonitions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's getting, like, kind of like a feeling or, like, what's going to happen and stuff like that. And that's how she, like, reacts to them. I know, I could be wrong.
And what do you think?
She doesn't seem to have any sort of supernatural physical abilities, but she does seem to have something always kind of on the back of her mind somewhere. She seems to... this is something that she seems to sort of have an idea of, maybe premonitions of the future, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be really helpful. And guys, just so you know...
Before Ian came back, she kind of she sort of had these premonitions of seeing him all the time before he came back in season two. So
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
She would see him under the ice, and she would see him in places, you know, and before he came back to life. So.
All right, before we get into our next topic, guys, don't forget you can support AfterBuzz by going to iTunes or YouTube. You can download, rate, subscribe, and comment on the show. And if you'd like to join the conversation, I have the iChat up, the AfterBuzz iChat. I can actually see what you guys are saying, so if you have a question or you want to comment on what we're saying, go ahead and Corey will read that out for us. And if you'd like to call into our fan line at any point in the show, the number is 424-256-1729. I want to read some of our comments from our listeners left on iTunes and YouTube. Jamie Wade said, "Thank you for doing Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf rocks. I'm pretty sure that guy in Lydia's bed was just some random dude," which we discussed earlier. Thank you, Jamie. Inez says, "I'm pretty sure Derek's new love interest is going to be Mrs. Blake, played by Haley Webb." And I would agree. What do you think, Anique? I know you guys can't really comment, but...
I think so. I'm kind of looking forward to having Derek in, like, a relationship.
Yeah, I think his character is going to be developed a lot this season, especially with his sister coming into the mix. And IL Covert Affairs actually asks, "Do you think Peter Hale turned Scott because he knew that Scott had whatever future Deucalion is afraid of?" I think that's a good prediction as well, because obviously, you know, I don't know what's going on, but Deucalion's obviously afraid of what Scott will turn into, so he's trying to get Derek to kill him and the rest of his pack now. What do you think, Anique?
I don't know, I want to see a showdown. I do, that's what I want to do. Like, at, like, the season finale, I just want to see, like, a showdown between Scott and, like, all, like, the alphas and like everything, and just like throw everybody down, just kill everybody.
I think we're gonna get a showdown pretty much every episode.
Yeah, there's definitely gonna be some showdowns.
Something big happens.
Be some big showdowns throughout the season, I'm sure.
And speaking of which, I mean, maybe just speaking in general terms. So like when they do these big fight sequences, like what goes into that for someone like you when you do stunts? Like what kind of preparation do you do? What like?
Well, normally, you know, there's a couple days of preparation where we'll be on location or on set and we'll be choreographing the fights, you know, going through how we're going to do it, where we're going to do it. Teen Wolf being a very supernatural show, you know, a lot of times we throw people through walls. So we got to build fake walls, obviously, and make them look real and make them look awesome when they explode. And just a lot of rehearsal, a lot of practice. We put a lot of people on wires, you know, so just a lot of time to get it right before it comes to actually shooting it.
Right.
So typically just a lot of practice. Just a lot of the time, you know, we're doing several fights all going on within one big fight. So just getting a lot of rehearsal time in. So we can get it down and make sure it's done right when we actually go to shoot it.
Yeah. And do you guys, I'm guessing since, you know, we have werewolves fighting in the show and they have to wear the nails and all that, do you guys have...
fake nails are so fun to wear. they fly off every single time you do something.
It's like pressed on and just pop.
Yeah, a couple times we've actually been shooting fights and the nails fly off and bounce right off the camera. So
wow.
It's a useless take because it bounces right off the lens.
How do you like wearing nails?
That would be the only show or the only time in my life I've worn nails, actually. Thanks for asking. They're okay. They literally just take them. They're just rubber. They're a lot softer than they used to be. They were pretty sharp and pretty hard the first season. Now they're a little softer, so if you accidentally stab somebody, it's not as bad. And they literally just super glue them right to your regular nails.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys have any accidents when they were harder and sharper?
I did actually poke one of the other stunt guys, David Elson. I poked him right in the middle of his chin.
Did he bleed?
Yeah, he was bleeding a lot after the fight scene. It was like, oh my God, what happened?
Did you guys use that take?
I don't think we used that one. we shot a lot of... That was the ice rink fight, season 2. And somehow I was supposed to grab him by his collar and I must have just poked him.
Nice. By the way, guys, we were supposed to have Keahu, who plays Danny, on the show tonight, but he was called in to reshoot something else, and he's going to be joining us next week. But Chris actually was his stunt double a few times.
I have doubled Keahu, so unfortunately, guys, you get me. Sorry about that.
You get his double this week.
Last resort.
You're doubling for him tonight.
Wow.
I'm doubling him once again. Unbelievable.
You always have his
Unbelievable.
Back.
He's a good mate, actually. He's a good fellow.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Really nice.
Okay, before we get into our next subject, I just wanted to get a quick shout out to the rest of you guys who were nice enough to comment on our show last week. Joseph, Stephen B., Brooke Wentz, Federica, The Flow Mine, Ghost 8386, Wolf's Wind, Free GX, Linda Mitchell, Nerdy Success, and James Taylor. Thank you guys so much for your comments. We'll continue to read them each week, so download, rate, and comment on YouTube and iTunes. All right, now we're going to talk about memories. I feel so bad for Isaac this season. He is just the torture toy in just every episode so far.
Being put through the ringer.
Yes. Yeah, he
gets
slashed up and whatnot. But before we get into that, the fans will be upset if I don't mention this, but the one relationship I forgot to talk about was Steric.
Okay,
Steric is a big thing on the internet. It's basically like everybody wants, they love Styles and Derek. They basically love any type of scene that they're in together, and they had some great scenes in this one. Like they're just funny lines, like the punching of the hand and stuff like that. When Derek's like, "I can punch through a brick wall," mm-hmm. and then
he doesn't believe him.
And then Styles is like, "No, you have like an inch," and he like hits him. And then like I love the internet line. It's like, "Derek, it's the internet. It's gonna take minutes," and then it takes him like 12 hours or something like that. But they're great. I mean, Derek is just a stoic guy, and Styles is all over the place. But yeah, the fans definitely got a lot of Steric moments, so I bet they appreciated that. I just want to get that in real quick.
Yeah, I really like that moment when Derek asked for someone to help him out to go And Styles was like, oh, yeah, no problem. And he was like, I didn't mean you. And he was like, yeah, Scott, go for it. But you know what? They need Styles more than they realize, yeah, as we found out when he discovered what kind of stone they were running into in the bank. But before we get to that, let's go back to the memories and talk about how Isaac doesn't trust Peter, but he's allowing him to go into his memories, even though it could paralyze him or kill him. And Peter's very comforting and assuring him that he's never paralyzed anyone. And then he goes ahead and sticks his claw into his neck. Do you guys want to talk about that?
Oh, man, that was a fantastic scene. I mean, there was two of them. Well, the ice bath one we'll get into later, but that first sequence was great. Just the whole idea that the werewolves can, I guess, link up with one another with their memories using the claws directly into the neck. It's just a cool, like, attribute to the show, like, just going into, like, someone's brain and finding memories. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. We're sort of piecing together, along with Isaac, like, what happened to him? Mm-hmm. And sort of being put in his shoes for that briefest moment. And we just see a flash of images. Like, we see Deucalion, we see Kali stepping on him and stuff like that. And then we're just trying to piece together, like, what happened to Boyd and Erica.
I really like how Peter's eyes turn like that blue. Now, yeah. I know we're gonna get to know mm-hmm. like the different eye colors, yeah, but can you talk on that at all? Like, what do we know what that means yet, or can you not talk about that?
We get more into it later on in the season, but okay. I mean, it's good that we keep mentioning it because it's such an integral part to the show. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, some werewolf eyes are yellow, the beta, you know, blue means something, and then red is obviously alpha. But yes, all these mean something in the grand scheme of things. But we don't get into that till later on in the season.
Okay.
But it's good to take note of that because it does get brought up quite a bit.
And then we get to that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so we go to the ice bath. And Dr. Deaton, how does he know so much? What is this guy's history?
I mean, I
don't think anybody really knows.
No one knows. Nobody knows that.
Nobody really knows. And it's kind of cool. Because he keeps you wondering the whole time, you know, who mm-hmm. is this guy? How does he know all this stuff?
He was on The Wire as Seth Gilliam, so.
So that explains it. There we go.
That's how he knows everything. No, all I know. Right. It's interesting just talking about that for a second. But, yeah, Dr. Deaton is sort of like, you know, Scott's guide through this whole supernatural thing. But at the same time, like, he's this mysterious guy he's like Mr. Miyagi, but he's also like, he's like Obi-Wan meets Mr. Miyagi because, you know, as Obi-Wan was in the Star Wars series, he was very mm-hmm. mysterious as well, like, talking in vagaries to Luke, but just saying.
Don't give any spoilers to Star Wars.
Star Wars? Okay, if nobody, I'm sure nobody has seen
Star Wars, I've heard of that.
Yeah. That little indie film.
Television show. He's almost a bit like Yoda, too. He's just like a bit everybody. And I actually only met him once just the other day. I never ran into him in three seasons. First time I ran into him the other day on set. Because, obviously he's not in a lot of action scenes.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask him what his deal is?
I'm not allowed to say. No, I just was kind of stoked to meet him. He was the only one I'd never met.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I know everyone else really well after, you know, 3 years of the show. And, he's a cool fella. And I like his character. Because he appears to be human. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently he's completely human, but he knows a lot about the werewolf and the supernatural predicament. So.
Do we find out more about him this season?
I'm sure we will.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I want to know what he's going to do, because last episode, all the pets committed suicide. So, we have a caller on the line. Let's take the caller. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Joe from New York.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling. It's pretty late over there. What did you think of this episode? What is your favorite part?
I'm Bad Girls Club.
No, we're actually talking about Teen Wolf. Are you calling in for Bad Girls, or are you talking to Teen Wolf? Okay, I think we lost our caller.
I will say this much. There are some very bad girls on the show. And,
you know what, Kristen? That's an amazing segue to talk about all the after shows AfterBuzz TV produces.
We have so many. And if you guys aren't just a big fan of Teen Wolf, we also do Bad Girls. We do Jersey Shore. We do Mad Men. We do Boardwalk Empire.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. We just had the big finale at John Lovett's Club, and you guys can look that up on YouTube. We had Ryder Strong from Boy Meets World joining us and Eric Layden from AMC's The Killing, and we broke down the episode with them. Great event. We have two more events this month at the John Lovett's Club. So we have The Voice, I believe, next Sunday, and the following Sunday, Mad Men. So you guys should check that out. Come to the John Lovett's Club and meet the AfterBuzz TV hosts, and we're going to have some cast and crew from the different shows. But now, getting back to Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And no more bad girls.
I'm telling you, there are plenty of bad girls.
There's a few bad girls on Teen Wolf, yeah.
There's a lot of drama.
All right, we're in the bathtub, guys. Come on, back to the bathtub. Get in the bathtub.
Right.
We need to slow down Isaac's heart rate so that Dr. Deaton can talk to him in this trance-like state, and we can figure out, where the vault is and what's going on. And before he actually lets us know that when he wakes up that Erica is actually dead, and that comes as a huge surprise.
Yeah. It's interesting because, just talking about the entire sequence for a minute, that whole scene is done very, very well, edited very, very well. The whole episode was edited by Alyssa Clark, and like that scene in and of itself is just beautiful because you go in and out of being in the vet with the bathtub, and then he's like reacting to all this imagery that he's seeing, and just like it's so well done. Mm-hmm. And you totally get the psychological horror aspect of like what's happening, and then sort of piecing it together with him. The shock value of hearing that Erica's dead, because you know, like, she was such a big part of season two, and then just like, oh, she's dead, and then like, but who's the other girl? Mm-hmm. That's the next question. Like, how did Erica die? And then who's the girl at that point in the show? You're sort of wondering like, well, who's there? You know,
What do you guys think may have happened to Erica? I personally think that because she wasn't able to shift and turn because of the moonlight, she probably had a seizure. I don't know, because I don't think that they killed her because they needed to use her.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they actually killed her. What do you guys think?
I think she died on her own. I don't think that like anybody like attacked her.
I think they just didn't know that she had seizures and that she needed to turn. Yeah. And so that's probably what happened to her. But I really did enjoy that scene where they were submerging Isaac, and it was shot beautifully, and there was so much going on. I mean, that scene took you out of the show, and I was completely, like, stunned that we were going underwater, and I thought at one point that he died because, you know.
Oh, yeah. You'd think that he would drown.
Yeah, and he was going into shock, and it was just like everything was, like, standing still in that moment. I felt like I was underwater. So it was really nicely edited. Thank you, Alyssa. And she's actually going to come on episode 4.
Oh, great.
Because she wrote episode 4 with Jessica.
Yeah,
so
this is
very
awesome.
Cool.
All right. And then we're learning mythology more and more with each episode. And we find out that the bank walls are made of this stone that it sounded like they said hycatolite. I don't know. Do you remember what the stone was called?
Not specifically, but I do know the effect, yes, the scattering of the moonlight and starving, essentially the werewolves receiving basically the moonlight, whether that turns them into wolves. And then that's that whole aspect. I thought that was really cool, actually, just knowing that, like, they're starved from being turned into werewolves, and then they get exposed to it all in one rush, so it feels like a huge, like, boost of energy. You know, it's almost like a drug, if you will. Like,
right.
It just sort of like they go into shock and then they lose their minds, sort of like turn into the Hulk or something like that, a werewolf version of the Hulk. Mm-hmm. They just sort of like lose their sense of being and then just become completely savage. So I thought that was a great aspect to the show.
Yeah, I like mythology. I like that Stiles actually figured that out and Peter did as well, but it's because Stiles kept being annoying and asking questions, as a great detective would do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Stiles. You actually saved your friends' lives. So, and they also mentioned that it was like they were the food for the lions in the Colosseum in Roman times, so I really like that like throwback to history and that mention. I really like what they're doing to make us understand and make it more clear to us. And apparently ammonia blocks Wolf's sense of smell.
Yeah, that was interesting. No, that whole, like, Yeah, because that whole sequence was just very well put together with the mm-hmm. tension. You're like, oh, is, you know, Kali going to sniff out Allison? And mm-hmm. then, like, the last moment, she's, like, you know, pretty much safe for now. And then she sees Erica dead. And then
at the very least, it disguised her smell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The scent. Mm-hmm.
Smart thinking on the go.
Yeah,
the show.
Definitely.
That's the one thing she did because, she did realize that the symbol was, in fact, not a symbol, but a logo.
Right.
But then she decides to just go, break down this door with no weapon, no plan, no backup. Come on. Of course
she
does.
Let me go take a look. Yeah, let's take a look.
Come on, Allison.
It's Allison. Of course she does.
Yeah, where was her bow? I wonder.
Where was her bow?
I don't know.
I want to
know. She left it at home.
Did her dad break that one, too? I think he did last episode. That's a bad father. Make sure your daughters have bows. So we didn't see Motorcycle Girl this week, so I'm not sure if she's dead. I'm not sure if we can assume that or not.
I think we can presume from seeing her blood on the lockers that she is dead, but you never know on the show.
You never know. Jeff is a great writer.
You never know. I mean,
Jeff Davis, the creator.
You bring Peter back, and who knows? Who knows? In this world, who knows? So that's what I like about it. Because she's a pretty kick-ass character.
All right, let's go ahead to our last subject for the evening, the vault. What do you guys think? Is Allison ready to take this lead role in her family? They said the females are the leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, after this episode, she goes in there totally alone, and then she kind of breaks the seal. And was that mountain ash?
Yes.
That they were surrounded by?
The mountain ash, yeah. That's the barrier that the werewolves can't cross or else they get in, killed, basically. I mean, and they can't, it's like, it's not exactly something like equivalent to, a nuclear bomb, but it's sort of like that barrier that keeps them at bay. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting how like Miss Morell mm-hmm. like turning on the good guys basically. I thought she was supposed to be a good guy, but then she sort of turned to Deucalion's side. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, I mean, she might be undercover because she didn't kill Allison.
Yeah.
What do you think, Anique?
I think she's undercover.
Mm-hmm.
She did try and save her. She obviously put her in the closet.
Yeah.
Mm.
With dead Erica. Thank you.
With dead Erica.
Miss Morell. That was sweet of you.
She could have been confirmation that she's dead.
Right.
She could have been like going that door, but no, she sends her in with a dead girl.
Yeah, there's probably some other motive that we don't know about.
All right. I look forward to seeing that. And then, Allison confirms Isaac's memory of seeing Erica dead. And Scott and Derek actually don't know that. They are still hoping that Erica is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, in one of the pictures, Detective Stiles notices the guy that's robbed the bank a few months ago. So maybe this is a little prediction that it was. It kind of looked like Ennis because he had like that shaved head that looked like Ennis. And it looks like maybe Deucalion obviously knew the type of stone that the bank was made of. And so that's why they chose this location. And they had Ennis do the robbery, which Stiles obviously runs back to his father. And Stiles is becoming quite the detective. He's putting all the pieces together. He's going to be promoted, I think, to the fourth pretty soon.
That would be awesome. Should be. See him with like a big sheriff's badge. That would be so cool.
And then Scott's afraid that they're not taking calculated risks and not measuring the risk. And Derek...
Risk and reward.
Risk and reward.
Yes, that's such a good... That's so true, though, in the sense of things. Like, you have to know what you're giving up,
mm-hmm.
In order to receive the big prize. But, yeah, I think in that sense... Yeah, if we go back to that one scene where he decides not to do the coin challenge or the pop quiz, mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that Scott decides not to play because... I think old Scott, maybe Scott from season 2 and season 1, would probably take the risk because I think at that point he was just getting to know the werewolf world and his ability, and he probably did take a lot of risks that were unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But I think this season he's much more calculated. He almost at to a point where he could be a little unsure of what the right thing to do is. But he always knows what the right thing to do is, but I think it makes him a little bit more cautious when getting into things. And that's part of what I think Scott represents is the moral aspect of the show. Like, this is the moral center. like, this is what, you know, the average person would consider the right thing to do. But, of course, Derek and all the other PAC members and Isaac and all that, they obviously see things differently than Scott does. Maybe in a way that isn't necessarily black and white morals, but more like what's going to benefit the PAC.
You know? I mean, and Derek should, because he's the one who turned these guys. And so, you know, he's going to have blood on his hands. It's pretty much his fault, maybe. I mean, it's his pack. He turned them. What do you guys think? Do you think he's responsible and he should go in there even though he's risking his own life? Anik, what do you think?
I mean, I think, you know, he's going to do it anyway. So it's not kind of like, well, if he responsible, he should go in there. It's of the fact that we know Derek, and we know that he's going to go in there.
But Derek,
no matter what.
Derek, maybe you shouldn't be a hero, because he's not really thinking. He's being like a father right now, like running in a building on fire, rather than thinking about, you know, what's the right way to do this? Like, why? Like, Scott is actually the mind here, saying, you know, why did they wait four months? There's a reason. And Derek's like, okay, you can stay here if you want. I'm going.
I think that's why they have, like, the two of them, because one just, like, doesn't think, and then Scott is just like, like you said, like the mind of, like,
yeah, maybe the with the two of them, you find a happy balance between them. You know? Scott definitely seems to retain more of the human morality, whereas Derek just does what he wants. So the two of them, if they kind of meet halfway in the middle, not too bad.
They'll balance each other out.
Exactly.
That's a good point. And why Erica and Boyd? Why are they using them? Because I guess in this episode we find out that they want Erica and Boyd, well, Erica's dead, but Boyd, and now we find out Derek's sister, Cora, to actually kill Derek and Scott.
Right.
And they're doing this so that Derek and Scott actually have to kill them, because they're out of control.
Right. They obviously snatched him to lure him in.
So right.
Yeah.
There's some mastermind
plan
going on here.
There's definitely a plot going on in this one.
Yeah.
It's thickening.
I really like Deucalion.
Yeah, and then how interesting, speaking about Cora, like, another family member, you know, presumed dead but alive, you know, like, wow. Like, what does this mean? Does Derek have to kill his sister? Like,
I mean, the stakes are pretty high. And I'm glad that his sister's there, because, you know, we're going to see a lot of character development from him this season. And it came as a huge surprise, because he didn't know he had any family left. So it's definitely going to change his character.
I mean, it's like, if she's alive, then who else can be alive?
From the Hale family.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into our interview with Chris. Marissa, I don't know if you had those pictures that you could pull up for us.
There's an interview with Chris. When did this happen?
News to you. So I'm always interested in how aspects of our childhood lead us into specific careers. What do you think from your childhood would you say contributed to you wanting to become a stunt performer?
My childhood. I would have to say, growing up, me and some of my mates were just typical. Oh, we're just typical kids, just riding bikes and wanting to jump them over things and jumping off the roof or jumping off the pier or riding our bicycles as fast as we could go. Just being a normal kid, and well, somehow I figured out how to manage to make a living at it, doing the same things I was doing when I was 7 years old.
Did your parents, were they ever like, you know, don't go that fast, or?
Yeah, my parents are very, very anti motorbikes and high risk activities. Obviously, I didn't pay much attention to them. And funnily enough, now it's what I do for a living. I used to race motorcycles and cars, which is what got me into stunts. And of course, my parents were dead set against motorcycles.
So they didn't buy you your first motorcycle?
They did not buy me my first motorbike. No, they said, when you're 18, you can do what you want. We're not going to help you, but you can do what you want. And that's what I did. I was going to school. I was working. I saved up money, bought a motorbike. And here we are today, all this time later.
And what's your favorite type of stunt to do?
Oh, my very favorite. I don't know. That's a good question. A lot of stunts is just typically fighting. We do a lot of fighting in stunts. A lot of falling down, obviously. Getting thrown into walls, getting tripped, falling on the ground. I really love doing high falls. You know, just jumping off a building a couple stories up or something is a lot of fun. Driving and bikes, of course, is fun for me. Fighting's fun, too. Playing with guns, blowing things up. Just all the boy stuff, really.
How does one audition for a stunt?
I have no clue.
You send in your reel, or like, do they make you jump off a building? Like,
no, yeah, it's a very, specific industry and specialty, obviously.
They're just like, entertain us.
What can you do? A lot of training, and again, I came from a background with cars and motorbikes and vehicles, jet skis, so that's sort of how I got involved in the stunt world. A lot of guys would be gymnasts, or girls would be gymnasts beforehand, or martial artists, and you just have to get an opportunity to show what you can do to a stunt coordinator, you know, and hope that one day they give you a chance to do it. And just one job leads to two, and two to five, and so on. It's,
have you ever thought of acting?
Not so much. I've had a few lines every now and again, and actually, Tyler Posey tells me I should be an actor. We work together quite a bit, and he wants to do stunts, so maybe one day we'll switch jobs. Yeah, he's hilarious. I've never really thought about it. I would do it if it was a cool opportunity. Mm-hmm. I've never really trained for it. I've never really had aspirations for it. I just like to do the fun stuff.
Right. You know? Was there ever a time you decided a stunt was too dangerous and you told them that you weren't going to do it?
No, I haven't done that yet. I mean, it all can be a little dangerous. Most of it's not. We do a lot of rehearsal. We do a lot of preparation. Safety is paramount. More than anything, safety is the number one thing. I've done some pretty dangerous stunts before. Season 3, episode 1, last episode, we did some pretty dangerous stuff on that motorbike, including the crash and jumping through the window. I had no helmet on, so...
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
wow.
You know, we threw that bike down, and I wasn't riding it, so I was completely out of control of how the stunt happened. I was on the back for the ride. It went fantastic, though. Two great riders on it, and... So
that's,
you know,
right. Just last episode,
the
premiere episode, Tattoo, you actually was the stunt double for Daniel
for
Sherman,
Daniel, yes.
Who plays Isaac.
That's correct. Yeah, I've doubled Daniel through season 2 and this next season. And so that was that, you know, something like that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it went really right. But there's always the possibility. And sometimes it's the little things that could really hurt you. It's not even the big, big things, because when it's the big, big stunts with huge explosions and 12 cars and people flying through the air, you're really, really focused. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to make the mistake then, and you've rehearsed it so many times, and everybody's looked at it from so many different angles that it's probably a lot safer than when it's just a simple little thing and you're not paying as much attention as you should be because you're just doing a little fight or something, or, you know, a small ratchet, and you maybe if you don't think it's such a big deal, you're not giving it the attention it deserves.
That makes sense. Yeah. What advice do you have to people who want to make this their career and be on fire and break through glass and dive off
buildings?
Being
on fire is really cool, but don't do it at home. falling off buildings is fun as well. It is just a tough thing to get into. You really have to train as much as possible in every way you can. But unfortunately, it's not like you can go to college and get a degree in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's a tough
one to give advice. Do they have stunt schools that you can go to in different places?
They do, actually, have some stunt schools around. I'm not sure how much weight they really pull. Because, I mean, how much can you learn in a couple days?
Right. Yeah. They're not very long.
Because it takes a while. It really does take a long time to learn all the many skills to be a stunt performer, obviously. Yeah. It's just something you just learn as you go. You know, just practice as much as you can. But again, where do you practice, you know, high falls or being on fire? Or, you know, doing 360s in a car at 50 miles an hour? It's just, it's not a lot of avenues to get into it, but I don't really know.
Good luck, guys.
I don't even know how I got here, honestly.
It's risk and reward.
Risk and reward.
That's what it is.
Just make sure they're calculated risk. Yes. There we go.
It's all calculated risk.
Yes.
And with that, we're going to get into predictions.
Oh, what about news and gossip?
We can do throw that in predictions a little bit.
Okay,
news and gossip.
We can do that.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Do you want to start with a little bit of news that you have, and then I'll throw out my prediction?
Sure. Can we get my picture up, Marissa? Anybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there was this like little controversy going around, like Perez Hilton. You know how he is. I love him. I know. Don't judge.
From upcoming previews, it looks like Boyd and Cora, who is Derek's sister, are on loose and they're killing, and Derek feels responsible. What do you think is going to happen, Anique?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. Like, I don't even know where to start. I have, like, so many predictions that I'm just going to be like, well, hopefully, I don't know. I can't even. All I can say, I think that Scott and Allison are not getting back together, and that she is going
never
to
getting back together.
Maybe not right now. Not right now. Not maybe
never,
not in this
ever
season.
Getting back together.
Taylor Swift doesn't think they're getting back together.
So, but that she may find a new guy.
You know what? I hope she does, because everybody needs a few relationships before it gets too serious, and I feel like theirs was pretty serious. But with that, guys, we're going to head out for this week. Don't forget to download, rate, comment, and you can find me at Cinematic Escape, or you can bing my blog, Cinematic Escape. Corey, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Corey Trench, CoreyTrench.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JustinEatDufour, and my website, iNeatDufour.com.
Chris, where can we find you?
I don't have any of those
Jumping
things.
Off buildings.
Yeah, you'll find me doing something dangerous around the world somewhere. Or on Facebook, but that's it.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.